Brent here this morning, and the rest of you. Well, this morning, Psalm 34. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 34. We've already read that for you this morning. Almost tried to get you to read it twice. But in Psalm 34, David is so grateful and he's so overwhelmed with God's goodness to him that he is pleading with his friends to join him in tasting God's love. That's verse 8. It's a good word for us today. It's a very, very good word for us today. How many of you like to taste? Now, if I were to say that we were going to blindfold you and then have you taste, would you still taste? Okay, some of you are pretty brave. All right. But tasting is where it's at. We taste with our mouths, and then when we taste something, we make a decision. We either like it or we don't like it. Right? And we're pretty quick at deciding whether or not we're going to like it. Well, verse 8 tells us that we need to taste God and see that He is good. How many of you remember the old Campbell's soup commercials from years ago? Good. Maybe you have to be older than whatever to do that. How many of you were motivated by that commercial just to go try it? You probably didn't need the commercial, really, because every house had a can of Campbell's soup. But they felt by running that commercial, by telling you that it's good, that people would go out and buy an extra can, maybe two or three of their soups, put them on the shelf at home for the appropriate time. Well, King David is giving God a commercial in Psalm 34. Taste and see that God is good. Well, we could ask the question, this is Psalm 34, and of the Psalms there are 150. We know that David didn't write all of them, but for every story, like the song that I read you the background on this morning, there is a background story to most scripture as well, especially when it comes to the Psalms. There is a backdrop, there is a backstory to Psalm 34. What was it then that led David to make such a proclamation about God? Well, the story begins in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it covers about 8 chapters. If you want to make a note in the back of your bulletin, 1 Samuel 18 through 26, read that this afternoon. And as most of the stories are in the Old Testament, they're interesting stories. And they're easy stories to put yourself in the place of. You know what, Aaron? Take that dial and turn it the other way. Right about in the middle. They've been off for 10 seconds. I'm already hot. Thank you. Well, in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, we learn that there is a king and his name is Saul. And King Saul's son and Jonathan were like brothers. They were like brothers. They were very connected in every way. And after David killed Goliath, that story in the Old Testament, in Samuel, 1 Samuel, you can read that story too, the people began to give David praise. And in giving David praise, in 1 Samuel 18, we're told that the women got together and somebody came up with a song that proclaimed that Saul is great. Saul has killed thousands, but yet, oh, wait a minute, there's David, and David has killed tens of thousands. Now, I would say that in reading Old Testament scripture, that's probably an exaggeration of at least David. But it was in the hearts and the minds of the people that David was great. And so Saul became very angry and very jealous of David. Even to the point that Saul, the king Saul, the king, became afraid of David. Who was David? David was a shepherd. Yes, he had been anointed king, but wasn't there yet. He was still just a shepherd boy serving the king. But Saul saw that God was blessing David whatever David attempted to do, God was blessing it and making it grand. Saul even went so far as to send David out into the battlefields, hoping that he would be killed. You ever feel like that some days? Let's just go out and die for something, right? Well, Saul would send David out to the battlefield, hoping that the Philistines and others would kill him, but David would always come back victorious because God was blessing David. It is an amazing story of Saul's hatred for David. David's love for God and the amazing ways that God intervened for David. Read it. First Psalm 18 through 26. Do you know what? Even in all of the blessings that God gave to David, David had tests, he had trials, he had challenges that were bigger and badder than David was. And David found himself, even in front of a king of a neighboring country, got caught in a pickle, and David acted insanely to get out of the situation that he was in. Have any of you ever done that? Anybody here acted insanely to get out of a situation? How many of you told a lie to get out of a situation? Come on. Okay, there are a few honest people in the group. Mother. We'll talk afterwards. Anyway. All right. But David was, his life was a roller coaster. The events of his life were challenging and things were just crazy. And David acted insanely in front of this king to get out of this bad situation that he was in. But in the midst of all of the drama and the death and persecution and stuff that David was going through, imagine that somebody is chasing you today and they want to kill you. And you've got to run and hide. How far, how long could you get? There are reality TV shows today where they try to recreate things like this. And they do a poor job of it because we can see through the fakeness of it. But in the reality, David was being chased by the king who wanted to kill him. I would say that's a bad day. That might make for a bad week. That might make for a bad month. To know that somebody wants to kill you and it's the king of your country. Well, in the midst of all of this that's going on, David reveals his love for God. In the midst of all the bad stuff that's happening in David's life, he still reveals his love for God. That speaks to me, I hope it speaks to you, about life and the journey that we're on and the ups and downs of life, where we're at, what we should be doing, and how we should be reacting to God. How do we act? How do you react? How do I react when things aren't going well? And you probably don't have to go back too far in life, the last week, the last month, to find the answer to that, how you reacted when things aren't going the way you want them to go. Thursday night, I appreciate our Thursday night studies. Because there's a lot of honesty that comes out. I appreciate honesty in people. And sometimes we are so tempted to give the Sunday school answer to life's questions and the challenges that come to us. I haven't eaten anything this morning, so there shouldn't be anything sideways in there. But anyway, excuse me. So how did you react the last time something bad happened to you? How did you react? What happened in your spirit? What happened in your soul? What were the words that came out of your mouth? For Scripture tells us out of the mouth our heart speaks. Listen to yourself talk. Listen to yourself talk. And in the world of social media, go back and reread some of the posts. Out of your heart, the mouth, the fingers, our minds, we speak. Do you remain positive of God's love for you? Does God still taste good? That's the message for today. Does God really still taste good to you? Listen to verses 1, 2, and 3 of Psalm 34 again. I will extol the Lord at all times. There's no variance in there. At all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Really? Do I have to do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what Scripture tells us to do. Being obedient to Scripture all the time. My soul will boast in the Lord. Don't brag about other stuff. Life circumstances. Oh, I got lucky yesterday. All right, okay. We as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, will always give credit to God, our Heavenly Father, because He is the one that leads and guides us through life and the tests and the trials that we face. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. How many of you are afflicted with something today? It doesn't have to be health. It could be mental. It could be financial. It could be a whole lot of things we're afflicted with. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings. We get together and we praise God. We talk about, yes, we can talk about the tests and the trials that we faced. David was very open with that. But yet, when push came to shove, David was very quick to say, it is God who blesses me. God tastes good to me. And God will always taste good to me. And David wants all of us, these words are recorded for us, you have them in your Bibles, he wants us to hear what he has to say, and he wants these words to be true for us. You have to taste of God to know that he is good. Let me say to you, you'll never know what a banana split tastes like until you taste it. You can look at one all day long. Go to McDonald's. Go to Dairy Queen and look at the menu board there. Look at all the good stuff. You will never know what it tastes like until you buy one. Okay? And then after you buy it, then you'll be able to say, was it good? Next time I'm going to try something else. But you have to taste it to know that it is good. You will never know how good Cynthia's rice pudding is until you taste it. Okay? And you better say that it's good. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and we were talking about the blessings of being an American citizen and the opportunities that we have to own a home, live in a nice apartment, whatever it is, wherever you abide. And he was talking about trips to Africa, and I've never been there, but going to homes that have nothing for walls, dirt floors. How many of you really walk in your home, no matter what it's like, and you say, oh God, thank you for blessing me with this home? You'll never know how blessed you are until you are somewhere else in life. And I will say to you this morning that you will never know how good God is until you have tasted His love. And it's all about tasting God. It's amazing. But why, you ask, why would David tell us this? Why is it important to try God, to taste God? Well, number one, God is a relational God. We know that from Scripture. He talks to us. He speaks to us through the Scripture. He speaks to us through the power of His Word. He speaks to us through each other. God is a relational God. And knowing God is more than just intellect. In fact, I will say to you that if you think you know God intellectually, you don't know God. Quote me on that. If you think you know God intellectually, you don't know God. Because Scripture plainly tells us that we will never, 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 never know God intellectually. He is a heart God. He is a relational God. He is concerned about you on the inside. Psalm 119, verses 11 and 12. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. His word, Scripture, we read it, we hide it in our minds, in our heart. It becomes who we are. It becomes what guides us through the day. Blessed are you, O Lord. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you pick up God's word? Do you read it? Does it speak to you? Does it taste sweeter than honey to you? Taste it and try it. Peter wrote these words, Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Again, Peter writing his letter hundreds of years after David wrote this. Peter picks up on the words of Psalm 134 and tells us that we have tasted of the spiritual milk that God gives us. That initial connecting with God. The spiritual milk of the forgiveness of sin. Leaning on Him, letting Him guide us through life. And we have tasted of God. Peter is giving testimony to it and saying that God is good. Well, the second reason that we should taste God and say that He is good, because God is a God of growth. I'm not talking about height. I'm talking about spiritual growth. Christians, we, believers in Jesus Christ, you're sitting here today and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've confessed my need for God in my life. Then we would also know that Scripture speaks to us and tells us that we are to grow spiritually. We are to mature in our disciplines of life, following Christ, listening to Him, being in tune with Him. We desire more of Him. We sing songs and we read Scriptures about more of God, more and more of God. But then do we really avail ourselves to the more of God? Do you really desire more of Him, or are you just content with the milk? And Scripture would say, sucking on a bottle. Are you content with that? Or do you want more of God? Do you want the meat of Scripture? Do you want the bread of life that Jesus Christ is? Verse 8 again tells us that taste and see that God is good. Good. Of course, reading this Scripture, I would say, at least for myself, as I was reading it a week ago or so, as I was reading it, I had to think of food. Had to think of meat and potatoes and maybe a little piece of a dessert. We in this world, variety is a spice of life, right? Today, if you stick around, we're going to have a potluck. And there are going to be lots and lots of dishes there. And so you may try whatever you want. I would say stick around and try it. You may like it. Maybe it's something you've never tried before. Stretch yourself. Maybe you'll like it. If you like, I don't know if there are any olives out there, but if there are olives there, don't worry if I go through the line before you, because I will not take an olive. So you're safe. But if you like Cynthia's Aunt Sue's bean dish, if you've ever had that before, have you fixed it? I'm sure she has. Anyway, it's going to be in a red crock pot. All right. Now, if you've tasted or you think you're going to taste it, you're going to like it. I'm going to tell you you're going to like it. So you're going to want to take some of it. But I'm going to tell you, you better get in line before Wes gets in line. May not be much left after Wes goes through. Why? Because he's tasted of it and he knows that it's good. That it's good. I had an uncle named Johnny. Johnny loved potatoes. And my aunt would make a big bowl of mashed potatoes, and she knew that when it was time to serve food, she put the potatoes right in front of my Uncle Johnny. You would be lucky to get a teaspoon of potatoes after Johnny was through with the potatoes. And in our family, it became the saying, if somebody took too much of something, you know, you wanted something, but you see somebody taking too much, we would say, don't Johnny the potatoes, or we would say, don't Johnny the rice pudding, or whatever. But tasting, we taste and we say that it's good. Variety is the spice of life that we live in. And so we are tempted to try lots of different things, aren't we? Lots of different things. Maybe in some things we find something and we're content with it, and so we're fixed on it. But variety is the spice of life, so we say. So we are tempted to try lots of different things. A week ago, I was talking to a young man up at New London Concrete, and the food issue came up. And he told us that his family's favorite sandwich is peanut butter and a dill pickle. Piece of bread, peanut butter, put a dill pickle in the middle of it, fold it, and eat it. I like both of those ingredients. I like dill pickles, and I love peanut butter. But I'm not going to try the two together. That just doesn't compute. See, in that sense, I'm not going to taste it. I'm not even going to try it. I'll eat the peanut butter, and then I'll have a pickle. But I'm not going to put the two together. Psalm 34 is saying, taste God and know that God is good. Taste God and know that God is good. Tuesday at our community prayer time, there was a pastor from India there, and he was telling us that in India, there are hundreds of thousands. Well, actually, the number of gods in India are infinite, because if you want something to be your God, you can just declare it to be your God, and it is your God. But documented gods in the government, in the Hindu religion, there are over 300,000 gods. You would say in India, in God worship, variety is everything. Well, let me say to you that when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to believing in God our Heavenly Father, variety needs to be thrown away. You need to forget variety. We have a son-in-law who fits this. He's a great illustration of what in the spiritual sense, in the real sense of tasting food, Mike is a great example of what the psalmist is teaching us about worshiping God. Take our son-in-law to Jake's Pizza. There's no need for him to look at a menu. He will know what he wants. You're going to fix pizza for him at home. Don't buy varieties. You know what Mike likes. He's going to order pepperoni pizza. Why? Because he's tasted it and he knows that it's good. There is no need for Mike to try anything else. Pepperoni pizza is it. For breakfast, don't bother fixing eggs, bacon, pancakes, waffles, fancy-dancy stuff for breakfast. You know, don't slice the strawberries and all the kind of stuff there. No, just set the Honey Nut Cheerio box on the counter with a bowl and a gallon of milk, and Mike is good. Why? Because Mike has tasted Honey Nut Cheerios, and it's good. He doesn't need anything else. In his mind and in his spirit, he is concretely, sequentially thinking, this is good. I don't need to vary. He throws variety out the window. He says that it's good, and I know it, and that's all that I need. Mike has taken the words of Psalm 34, verse 8, and applied it to his dietary plan. The psalmist is saying to us, take your dietary plan and apply it to your spiritual life. I have tasted God and I know that He is good. Enough said. I was saying to you that you and I, we need to be like Mike in the spiritual sense. That I've experienced God, and that's enough. I don't need to try any other woo-doo-woo-woo stuff. I've experienced God, and I know that He is good. I have experienced God's blessings in my life. I'll give Him credit for the blessings of my life. I'm not going to go anywhere else. I don't throw darts at a board at home to decide what I'm going to do in my day. I don't roll dice to find out what I'm going to do in my day. I read Scripture, I listen to God, and let God direct my day. I have experienced God's Spirit. It's beyond, really, I would say, explaining it to you. You have to experience, and when you've experienced God's blessing, in His, you've experienced His Spirit in a blessing, there's nothing like it. I've experienced it, and I know that it's God, and that's the end of the story. I have experienced God's love. I have experienced His blessings. I have experienced answers to prayer in my life. And that's enough. That's enough. I'm not going to go to the newspaper and read my horoscope to find out whether or not I should go to work today or go whatever. I've experienced God in my life, and He is the one that will lead and guide me through my day. I have experienced His forgiveness, and that's enough. That's enough. And for me, that's all. No need to try other gods. I'm not going to try any other gods. Come and talk to me about whatever. Nope. I'm going to be like Mike. I've tested it. I've tasted it, like Psalm 34. And I know that God is God, and I am done. It's been settled. In David's life, he had tasted many bad things. Many bad things. Many challenges, many opportunities. Really, opportunities to turn his back on God, try other gods. But yet he writes Psalm 34, and he says, hey, I've tasted God's goodness. I've tasted His mercies. I've tasted healing. I've tasted all kinds of stuff. And I know that I know that I know that it's God. And that's enough. So let me ask you some questions this morning. Have you tasted of God? How many of you have experienced His blessings? I will say to you, and I believe that I can say this accurately, any blessing that you've ever received in life has come from God. Whether or not you give credit to something else, give credit to your dog, I don't care, give credit to something else. Hey, I got lucky the other day and bought whatever. No. We who believe in God will say, I have received His blessings and it is God who blesses me. How many of you come to a life decision and you've had to make a prayer asking for guidance, what to do? And God has spoken to you and led you in that direction, and you know that it was God who led you there. It's happened in my life. Cynthia and I are married today. And I will go back to a point in my life where I prayed for her. And when God answered that prayer, I know that I know that I know, no matter the tests and the trials that we face in life, God gave me her. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay? Done deal. Done deal. I've experienced God's forgiveness in my life. None of us are perfect. If you think you're perfect, I'll be the first to tell you that you're not. There's your first mistake, thinking that you're perfect. All right? But when you know you're not perfect, and you've screwed up, you've done something wrong, you better go to God and confess it and say, hey, I'm sorry. And He'll forgive you. I've experienced that. I know it. Like David, I can say, and I hope and I pray that you can say, that I have tasted God, and He is good. He is good. Have you tasted God today? Have you tasted God's love, care? We use the theological words grace and mercy. But have you just tasted God's faithfulness to you? It's there for you. And if you've not tasted it, I plead with you, I beg with you. The words of Psalm 34 are true. Taste and see. There's no question mark there. It's not a matter of your taste buds. It's a spiritual element. God created you. He is the answer to all that you're looking for if you'll just say yes. Taste and see that God is good. Do you need to taste God this morning? It takes a simple prayer of confessing and saying, hey God, I'm a sinner. I've tasted a lot of things in my life, and some of them are pretty bad. But God, I want to taste you. Because I've heard the word. I've heard that you are a good God. You taste good. I want to know it. I want to know it. Do you want to know it? It takes a prayer. Please stand with me this morning. If you need the taste of God to see that He's good, again, it's a challenge. Taste it. See if He is good. See if His word is true in your life. Put Him to the test. Say, hey, God, I need to hear from you. I need to know. I invite you to come and kneel at the altar. Come to the front of the church this morning and pray. Let's pray together. This is an opportunity for you to come and to kneel, to taste of God, and to know that He is good. If you don't know it, you got to try it, and you'll like it. Because God's word is true for us today. It is good. He is true. Father, the psalmist, when he wrote these words, he probably didn't see us. He probably didn't even think about us. He was thinking about his friends. He was thinking about maybe even his enemies that were trying to kill him. He was thinking about King Saul. But yet, here we are today reading Psalm 34, verse 8. And I know that those words are true. I know that those words are true. That you are a good God. I have tasted you, and you are good. I do not need to go and explore and try others. I am content. I am solidly convinced that you are who you say you are. You're a God of love. You're a God of forgiveness. You're a God of justice. Sin is sin, and you do not like sin. But yet you've given to us your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for the forgiveness of our sin. And so, Father, here we are, your children. We have tasted and we know that you are God. And we know that you are good. And so, Father, as the psalmist proclaimed this truth in Psalm 34, verse 8, let us leave this place today and also proclaim to our friends these same words. That we've tasted, we've tried, and God is God and God is good. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Let's sing the chorus together. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Father, we've tasted and we know. Let us leave this place and be a blessing to someone. Let us share our love for you. Father, bless us as we have conversation over some good food at lunch. Thank you for Lowell and his life. His life is a testimony to the words of this song. His life is a testimony to the truth of Psalm 34, verse 8. His life is a testimony. Help us to listen and to know that you are good. We see it in Lowell's life. May others see it in our lives as we leave this place. In Christ's name we pray today. Amen. Amen. Stick around for lunch.